Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Amen to that.
Amen.
How many knows God will show up? Amen. Praise God. He'll see us through the fire. Each and every time. Through every situation. Sure, amen.
Friday is one of the hardest days of my life because 11 years ago on the 30th, we lost my mom. But, you know, we turned that negative into a positive because I went for another test on Friday. And praise God, nothing was there. Amen.
Glory. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's such a good God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Not only does He hear our prayer, He answers our prayer.
Amen.
Glory to God. It's miracles never cease to amaze me. Amen. That's the reason they call them miracles. And I'm so glad that we serve a miracle performing God. Amen. Time and time and time again, He shows up. Amen. And makes a way when there seemeth not a way. I know sometimes the road gets long. Sometimes the journey seems a little bit unbearable, but God will never put more on us than we're able to bear. He'll always be there. I'll be all right as soon as I touch Calvary. something about Calvary. Very soon now, I'll reach the hill, Golgotha. I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from an old tree. And if one precious drop of His blood touches me, that Calvary made everything all right. Amen. Praise God, praise God. If we ever have a need, if we ever have a problem, if there's ever an issue that arises in our life, we can always go spiritually to touch Calvary. Just one precious drop of His blood touches me, then I'll be all right. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise if you would. He's deserving of it. Amen. We love Him and praise Him with all of our heart. Good to see you folks this morning. We appreciate you being here. Just pray that God just will pour out a blessing and anointing upon each and every one of us today. We got any blessed folks in the house? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed beyond measure. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 1. We want to begin in verse number 6 this morning. Thank you for standing as we read the Word of God. Thank God for His Word. Amen. Exodus chapter 1, beginning with verse number 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, and let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them. Everybody say those words with me. To afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. They were grieved because of the children of Israel. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, and for Your love. Thank You for this day that You've given us, this time, this opportunity, the desire that you've given us to meet together today. Father, I pray your anointing, I pray your blessing, God, upon all who are here today, asking you, God, to especially touch those who are sick, those who may be afflicted, those who are in the hospitals and the nursing homes. Comfort them, bless them, and anoint them. Have your hand upon those that are traveling today, Father, as well, to keep them safe. But God, I pray a very special prayer on behalf of so many people today who are seemingly lost and unconcerned. Praying, God, for a mighty move of your Spirit to draw them to an altar of repentance. God, to bring them into the fold. Father, for we see the things that are transpiring in this world today. And help us to focus on the unsaved today, God, to reach out and love them as you have loved us. And Father, now I pray, God, that you would just anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint my heart, my mind, my spirit, God, that I'll be totally submissive and obedient unto your will and to your word. And I pray that you'll bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Message title this morning, if I had one, or topic, it would be Growing Through Affliction. Not going through affliction, but growing through affliction. You know, we associate the word affliction so many times with pain and sickness and physical ailments in our body, and certainly it does apply there, but that's not the only kind of affliction that there is. This was not necessarily the case here when Joseph died, the Bible said, and I thought it very interesting. This is just something that I'll just throw out. It just kind of made an impression in my mind that it was talking about Joseph and his generation and all the descendants of Jacob, which just happened to be 70 souls. And I thought, my, heard that number before when Jesus sent out 70, amen, two by two to witness, amen. And, you know, God doesn't just let things happen just because they're, coincidental. God has a plan. How many knows that? Amen. And the more we focus on his plan and the more we get into the word, we'll see that, you know, nothing surprises God. He's got it under control. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you thankful that God is in control this morning? Amen. But here the word afflict means to oppress, burden, and cause hardship. And I thought how parallel that is to our enemy this morning. How many knows we have an adversary? It's not your brother. It's not your sister. It's not those who don't agree with you. Amen. His name is Satan, the devil. He is an adversary, and that's what he does. He causes affliction upon us. And you know what? He likes to afflict the church. Man. Because he doesn't see any reason to afflict the unsaved or the uncaring or the agnostic are those who are infidel. He doesn't see any reason to afflict them because he's not concerned about them serving Jesus. But let me tell you something. Once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil puts a target on your back, and he wants to afflict you, and he wants to oppress you, and he wants to burden you, and he wants to cause hardship. But I got news for you, and I got news for him too. If he hadn't realized this by now, the more he afflicts the church of God, the stronger the church gets. Amen. We may not realize it. We may not like to endure the pain. We may not like to endure the hardship. Sometimes we think we're oppressed to the point, amen, of absolutely giving up. But the devil, if he could only realize that the more pain and the more pressure and the more intense distress that he brings upon the children of God, that causes us to turn again to God and say, Lord, I can't make it without you, but I know with you all things are possible, and I know you're going to see me through, Lord. I know, God, that the road may be long, but I don't have to travel by myself. God is with me through every obstacle and every situation. The Bible says here that that generation all had died. But can I tell you something that the Lord just kind of brought to my attention? That generation did not die without serving a cause. Hallelujah. I'm thinking back a little bit today. We had an opportunity to talk to some people that we graduated with this past week. And we did the funeral for
One of the ladies that graduated in the same class that Sister Penny and myself did, and we began to reminisce and we began to talk, and they was talking about how many people had passed away and how much of their family has already gone to the other side. And you know, that made me begin to think about that generation, that people, amen, that laid the foundation for us and instilled into our hearts and into our minds, amen, the need to live for Jesus. And she began to talk about the characteristics of her mother. And her mother, she said, was one who always saw it her duty and her need to minister to others. Thank God for people who understand that it's not all about me and me getting my way and me having everything my attention, but it's those that want to help others and want to reach out to others and be with them through sickness and through all these kind of things that come on on our bodies. And she was always one to be right there, and it made me think of the scripture when Jesus went to the house of Peter and his mother-in-law lay sick. And you remember the story when Jesus went in and took her by the hand and he healed her, and it wasn't but just a little while, she got up and began to minister unto him. Now if you look at that word, she began to wait on him and serve him. Thank God for that generation. Thank God for those people, amen, that taught us humility. Thank God for those people that taught us that we can't put our faith and trust in ourselves, but we have to serve, amen, a higher power, that we can put our faith and trust in a never failing God. And here's what happened to Joseph and the generation with him, and the sons and the grandsons and the granddaughters of Jacob. Amen. I believe each and every day they was reminded of the power of God. They was reminded of how God made a way for them, even in a time of pestilence, even in a time, amen, of misery and a famine in the land. And God made it possible for them to come down and be nourished and be fed. Amen. And I believe probably every day the elders of that generation reminded those young folks, whatever happens in your life, whatever comes against you, always remember that there is a God who loves you, and there is a God that's going to take care of you, and there's a God that's going to meet your every need. And I believe it was so instilled into this generation's life that even in the time of persecution, even in the time of affliction and distress and hardship, they held on to the power of God. And God honored that, and God began to bless that. Amen. Let me tell you something. The world may not agree with the church. The world may ridicule the born-again believers. But I believe with all of my heart, the world recognizes something in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what they have to face. It doesn't matter what hardship arises in their life. There is something down deep in their spirit that sustains them. There's something that keeps us through sickness. There's something that keeps us through devastation. There's something that keeps us, amen, through hardships and distress and all of these things that come. Amen. It may not keep the stress and hardship from coming, but it'll certainly sustain us through every trial and through every situation. And a new king arose. One that did not know Joseph. One that did not know Jacob and his descendants. And he began to be a little fearful of the children of Israel because he saw something in them. He even said it. They're mightier than we are. Hallelujah. You may think you're burdened down. You may think that you're under captivity. You may think, amen, that you have been limited in whatever scope or whatever range in your heart's desire. But I will assure you, if Christ is within you, you are mightier than that's in the world. You are mightier than Satan and all of his cohorts. You're mightier than any problem. Let me tell you, you can overcome any sickness or any health affliction or whatever it is through the power of God that is within us. Such a sustaining power. Such an overwhelming power. Amen. But here's the thing. They instill something into the next generation. And I said, God, are we doing what our forefathers did? Are we pulling our children aside And we're instilling into them. Let me tell you, there is a difference in instilling and telling. Amen. When you instill something into somebody's heart, sometimes you might have to repeat it several times. Are we constantly telling our children, our grandchildren, those that are of our generation, are we constantly telling them, whatever you do in life, whatever your aim or goal is, whether you're successful, whether you rise to the top, whatever it is, whatever course that you lay or set aside for your life, this is one thing you must remember. This is one thing you cannot forsake and you cannot forget. Let me tell you something. When all else fails around you, when you look for help and can't seemingly find any, when the wealth and the things of this world will not give you power and will not give you solace and will not give you contentment, I want to tell you that there is a God whose Spirit will not leave you and will not forsake you, but He will hold you up and He will lift you up. Are we preparing our generation for the things that are to come upon this world? Thank God that Joseph and that generation says, whatever happens, don't lose faith. Whatever happens, keep trusting God. Whatever happens, never give up. Whatever happens, focus on Him and His Word. God honored that. Listen, even in captivity, they flourished. I said, even in captivity, they were fruitful. Hallelujah. Fruitful. Now, though the Bible is explicitly talking about them being able to have children and those children having children, and God even blessed the midwives, if you'll read it, and the women of Israel seemed to be sturdy and strong. Amen. That was not because of genealogy. That was because of the power and the anointing of God that was upon them. Let me tell you something. If you serve God, God will bless you. If you really sell out to God, God will make a way for you when there's seemeth no way. Amen. And the children of Israel began to multiply, and they were fruitful. Let me tell you, that had a bearing upon my spirit. Sometimes I think the church believes that the only time that we can be fruitful is when we are refreshed in God and when we are revived in our spirit and when God has just healed us or God has just opened a door for us. But according to this, even in a time of captivity, even in a time where they could not go out and be their own person and do their own thing, the Bible says they were fruitful. And I said, God, am I fruitful even in the time of sorrow? Am I fruitful, God, even in the time of burdens and situations on my life? Or is the only time I'm fruitful is when things are going good in my life? But according to the Word of God, we can be fruitful even in the time of burdens and even in the time of spiritual captivity. You know what I'm talking about. When it seems like everything that you've touched goes south. It seems like everything that around you is not being productive. It seems like you can't get anything done. It seems like your whole world is crumbling down around you. It causes many of us to look up in the sky and say, God, where are you when I need you? Why is all of this happening to me? And rather than asking that question and rather than questioning God, why don't we just get in tune with God and become fruitful even in the time of distress and sorrow, as the children of Israel did. I can almost hear that generation. I can almost see the grandmothers and the granddads of that generation as the little children were scurrying around and playing. Maybe just as one evening as the sun is setting, they reach down and they pick up that little child of 4 or 5 or whatever the case may be, and they set them on their knee and they begin to tell them about the love of God and about the power of God. And whatever you grow up to be and whatever comes to you during your lifetime, let me tell you, Let me encourage you. And let me instill into your heart and into your spirit, always, under all circumstances, always trust in God. Never leave Him. Never go in your own direction without asking God to be with you. Never forsake His presence. Always be there. Depend on Him. Let me tell you something, folks. We can depend on a lot of things in this world and it'll let us down. But I'm assured, amen, that if I depend on God, He'll never let me down. Glory to God. He'll always show up. He'll always make a way. You can always depend on God. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. It's easy to trust in Him when He's just answered a prayer. Easy to trust in Him, amen, when you see Him open up a door of opportunity. But even in the hardships, even in, and they begin to inflict them with more burdens. And they would do that and they would even require more of them. Let me tell you something. If you think Satan is going to leave you alone, let me just kind of give you a word. He's not. He's not, because that's his job. But you know what? Let me also give you a word of encouragement. Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. God is greater than Satan anytime. Children, don't give up. Continue to depend on God. Trust in Him. Even in affliction, even in hardship, amen, God is still a sustainer of our spirit. And that's the one thing that they could not kill. That's the one thing that they could not snuff out. That's the one thing that they could not conquer. They could not conquer the spirit of the children of Israel. Even though there were guards around them, even though they were taskmasters to make sure that they worked. And if you read the history, that they worked from sun up till sundown. And they lived in some of the worst conditions that are imaginable, given just enough food to sustain them so they could work another day. The water was many, many times unsanitary. The clothes that they were given were just barely enough to meet the needs. Amen. And they worked from, like I said, all day long and misery. And I would imagine there was many, many times and many, many opportunities when those children that had grew up listening to that generation say, trust in God. Always depend on God and never give up. I will assure you there were days when they would say, I don't know if what mama was telling me was correct. I don't know if what granddad said was correct. But there was something within them. May not have been in them 100%, but there was enough in the camp of Israel, amen, to say, you may break my body. You may tear me down. But you'll never defeat that is within me, because the Spirit of God cannot and will not be broken. And church, let me assure you today, whatever you're going through, it may be taxing on your body. It may be stressful in your mind. But there is something within us. It's called the Spirit. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. It cannot be broken. It cannot be defeated. It will rise up. God will sustain you. God will make a way for you. You are more than an overcomer through Christ, which strengthens us. Hallelujah. Growing through affliction, growing in spite of circumstance, growing in spite of distress and hardship. Can I tell you that in my case, many times, that's where I've experienced the greatest growth. Oh, if you were picking and choosing times, you certainly would not pick a trial. You certainly would not pick persecution. You certainly would not volunteer for hardship. But can I tell you, sometimes those are the times that I seemingly get closer to God. Those are the times that all of a sudden everything else in my life seems to pale in comparison to being obedient and submissive to God. And can I tell you, that doesn't just happen by chance. God desires a closer walk for us to be with Him. He desires us to be more in tune and more in focus with His will and not our will. And if it takes a trial, if it takes a hardship, if it takes stressful situations or storms that may arise to cause spiritual growth in my life, I can only say, God, not my will, but Thine be done. Lord, I want to be what You want me to be. God, I want to go where You want me to go. God, I want to speak that You would have me to speak. Because God, I can't make it by myself. I am nothing without You. Amen. But with You all things are possible, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Even in affliction, they were fruitful. Fruitful. Are we fruitful? Are we producing fruit? Amen. Are we sitting idly by, complacent, satisfied, in a comfort zone of just living a born-again life for Christ? Are we producing fruit? Are we a living, breathing testimony of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ? Have we shared it with a soul this week? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you even nod in agreement. Just asking you to think about it. Are we fruitful? Are we doing the work of God? Are we testifying? Are we witnessing? Are we talking to folks about Jesus? Are we talking to our family about Jesus? Are we encouraging them? Are we preparing them for the hardships of life? Are we preparing them that things are not going to always go the way that you want to? Can we tell you something? I believe about the generation of Jacob and Joseph and those that the Bible said now have all died. That whole generation was gone. I don't believe that they just told their children, "Oh, don't you worry. Everything will work out. Everything's going to be fine. You just do what you want to do and enjoy life and everything is just going to be rosy." Brother Jim, I don't think they shared that with them. But I think somewhere along the line, they had adequately prepared that generation that things might get tough down there. There may be problems. There may be issues. There may be a time when you think that God has forsaken you. But let me tell you, whatever you do, you hold on to His promise. Whatever you do, you keep trusting God. Are we being fruitful, church? Are we sharing the gospel of Christ? Are we reaching out to the lost like Jesus did? Do we have compassion on those who have not made that start for the Lord? Are we concerned enough about our fellow man? Are we concerned enough about the generation that's coming up? Amen. I heard a lot of folks say things negatively about the generation that's coming up. But let me remind you, we're the one that's raising them. Before we point fingers at that generation, let us inspect our lives and say, are we preparing them? Are we witnessing to them? Are we telling them that the one major goal in your life is to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Everything else will fail. Everything else will come and go because everything else is temporal or temporary. Amen. But when you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that is eternal. Amen. Glory to God. You have a better hope. You have a better place. Amen. Where you're going to go, you're going to have a glorified body. There'll be no more pain, no sickness, no death, no more affliction, no more hardship. Glory to God. But until then, let us keep on keeping on for Jesus. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Sometimes we don't see the growth. Sometimes we don't realize the growth. But I will assure you, if God has ever brought you through a trial, whether you realize it or not, you've grown. If nothing else, your faith has grown to trust in Him. To lean onto Him. Amen. To trust in Him more through every affliction, through every hardship, through every sickness, through every trial that may come our way. We have learned, amen, to not put our faith and trust in ourselves, amen, but to put it in God. And just because, let me remind us, just because we've been overcomer through one trial or through one hardship doesn't mean that there's not another one down the road. I wish I could tell you earnestly and truthfully that you'll never have any more problems, that you'll never have any more trials. But if I do that, I'm not adequately preparing you, because the Bible says the more they afflicted them. Let's me to know that when they saw the first time they afflicted them, they looked back and they overcome that. So they made the task a little more harder, a little more difficult, a little more burdensome. They required more from them, and they increased that hardship. And it seemed like, the impossible. Because that's impossible for a human to do that. But let me tell you what is possible. Amen. When God makes a way for you. Hey, and they saw the more they put on them, the more they grew. And the more they multiplied. And the stronger they got. Glory to God. You know, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. That is not the punishment of God. That's just a growing spurt. Amen. A spiritual growing spurt. And thank God that we can grow through those hardships. Because let me tell you something, folks. I just want to get happy just a little bit. If you can be victorious through the hardship, you're going to sure be victorious, glory to God, when the reward comes. When the trials are over. When the hardships are behind you. When you cross that final mountain. When you go through that last valley. When you can look back and Satan can't touch you no more. What a day that will be. What a time that will be. When all the hardship, all the trials, all the persecution, and all the affliction is a thing of the past. Hallelujah. No, we're not heaven yet. But the Bible said we can be made to sit in heavenly places. But one of these days, we're going to receive that glorious reward that Jesus Christ Himself came and paid the price. I want to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. In preparation for closing this morning's message, I want to encourage you that against all odds, that against all expectations, it is possible to grow in times of affliction. Not only is it possible, I'll make the statement, it is more probable that we will grow through those times than the times of complacency and the time of ease and the time of satisfaction. Because I'm not going to speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. Sometimes when everything's going right, my prayers aren't as long. Maybe my prayers are not as intense. Maybe I'm not nearly focused as much on the will of God as I ought to be. But can I tell you when hardships hit? Can I tell you when the affliction overtakes us? Can I tell you when the distress is all around us and it seems like it's just closing in from every side? That's when I really get intense with my prayer. That's when I really, really focus on the will of God. And I begin to say, Lord, I got to have your help. Lord, I can't make it without you. And I will assure you that through those times, I will experience more spiritual growth than the times when I'm just seemingly sailing along without any issues and problems. So there's a lesson there. But in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing, in chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 7, he reminds us, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. How many can identify with that? Somebody asked you, what's your greatest treasure? That is within me. Has nothing to do with my material things. Has nothing to do with anything else other than that is within me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He doesn't say we may be troubled. He says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Troubled? Yeah, but not distressed. Glory to God. Perplexed? Almost assuredly. But I'm not in despair. Persecuted? Yeah, we have been. Probably still will be. But I'm not forsaken. Hallelujah. Cast down? Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes my countenance is a little cast down. But then I think I'm not destroyed. Glory to God, as long as that is alive and well, I am more than a conqueror. Several years ago, during the time of an intense burden, hardship, whatever you want to refer to, unpleasantness, situation where I was questioning God, Lord, you got to get me out of this. Help me. The Lord revealed something to me, and I wrote it down, and I've still got it somewhere, and I wrote this because I realized I was taking on the mentality of a victim. And when you, whether you're facing captivity, whether you're facing hardship, again, whatever your body's experiencing, don't let your spirit accept or be convinced that you are a victim. Because the Bible says we are more than conquerors. I refuse to be a victim. I am an overcomer through Christ. And I got to have that mentality. Amen. My spirit knows it. But my spirit has to have subjection over my mind to let me know that I am not a victim. It doesn't matter how bad it gets, I am not a victim. It doesn't matter how sorry I feel for myself, I am not a victim. Amen. I refuse to be a victim. Amen. I am an overcomer through Christ. And if you'll keep that mentality, God will bring you out. God will deliver. Would you stand? God bless you this morning. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your spirit. And thank you for your attentiveness. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I pray, God, that we'll never lose track of the fact that we've been born again. That you are alive and well in our spirit. And Father, we refuse to be a victim. Therefore, we refuse to be victimized. Through every adversity, through every trial, through every storm, through every affliction, we are more than conquerors through your Holy Spirit. Father, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice today, God, that is experiencing hardship, I pray, God, that you would lift them up. I pray, God, that you would encourage them. And let them know, God, that you're with them. That even in affliction, we can grow. Even in affliction, we can multiply. Even through hardships, amen, we can become mighty through God. Lord, I pray that you would bless. I pray that you would touch and anoint this congregation. And before we open our eyes and before we look around, this altar is open for you this morning if you have a need. If you have a prayer request, if you have a personal situation, if you just want to get closer to the Lord, whatever the situation may be, understand this altar is open. And I will assure you that we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Is there one? While no one is looking around, if you need prayer or have a prayer request, just lift your hand and this pastor will see it, and I'll be praying for you this week for whatever that need is. God bless those hands. We love you. Thank God. Have a blessed day. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer.